Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John Jackson, the Joker from X in the house. You know, if you've never heard him on the radio before, he's a macho, macho man. That's right, John Jackson in the house. You know, Bob in Columbus was messaging us, hey, Aaron, I hear you're going to the inauguration in D.C. Did I hear the village people are going to play for one of President Trump's inaugural balls? So I probably won't get to see them. But I will get to see Carrie Underwood, apparently. Jessica and I will get to see Carrie Underwood because she's going to be performing at the inauguration itself. I'll be at the inauguration, but so far I won't be at any of the fancy balls or dances or anything like that. But, John, good to see you. Macho man.
Did you hear that? Kid Rock's going to be there. Jason Aldean. And, you know, the story behind President Trump always using the YMCA tune at his rallies. I guess they, all these other bands were suing, cease and desist for him to stop. Well, he started using that song, and he'd do the dance. And immediately the media goes to the village people and say, do you know he's using their song? What do you think about that? And they're like, we don't care.
We just
like that he dances to it.
We make music, you know. We make music for everybody, you know. Yeah.
A band from back in the day that didn't care about politics. They just care about music.
Yeah, you know, Elton John's kind of the same way. I mean, you know, people know his lifestyle, but yet he performed at Rush Limbaugh's wedding, and I think Donald Trump and him get along as well. And it's like, yeah, that's what America is supposed to be like. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to agree. They don't have to agree with you. You don't have to agree with their lifestyle. We don't have to agree with you don't have to agree with our lifestyle. You don't go to church on Sunday. Doesn't mean you have to hate on people that do, right? But that's not the modern day left and the Democrats. But yeah, I used to just hate that song. Nothing against the village people, but it was like every school dance you went to, every wedding you went to, oh great, here comes the stupid YMCA song again. But now, you know, Donald Trump made it great again because of his funny dance and at the rallies. And so now I love the song because it's just a reminder of just how much fun Donald Trump has on the campaign trail and how we are about to enter a golden era for America again. I truly believe it.
Well, you know how we get guys on the job. You know, you always got that buddy of yours that he wasn't career Navy, but he just did his little stint in the Navy, right? Every time he would bring up, oh, yeah, well, when I was in the Navy, and then you're in the Navy.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think, wasn't that the song that was playing? Remember the Police Academy movies back in the
80s? Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they accidentally walk in the wrong bar. I think that was the song
was
playing.
The Blue Oyster.
The Blue Oyster, yeah.
Everybody remembers the name of that bar because it's that place you walk into. It's like, oh,
yeah. Now that's just walking into the Montana Democrats caucus meeting in Helena. So it's kind of like, oh, hey, guys, sorry, didn't mean to barge in.
Oh, no. That would be moderate compared to their to their caucus meeting today.
Yeah. Even the village people would be like, whoa.
You're in the wrong place.
You want to chop body parts off of kids? That didn't used to be a part of the YMCA.
You got a big Adam's apple there, Sally. What's going on?
Dress like a woman, but that doesn't mean you use the women's bathroom. Come on, that's not what the YMCA used to be.
Securing America.
Those responsible for securing the presidential inauguration say they are ready for the event. Secret Service Special Agent in Charge, Matt McCool.
The Secret Service will bring agents and other specialists from field offices across the country to provide a full slate of visible and invisible security measures.
The inauguration will be the third national special security event in D.C. in the last 2 weeks, following the Electoral College count and the Carter funeral events. U.S. Capitol Police Chief Thomas Manger says,
the biggest threat, I think, for all of us remains the lone actor.
But David Sundberg of the FBI says the good news is,
we are not currently tracking any specific or credible threats.
D.C. Police Chief Pamela Smith adding,
there are no law enforcement agencies that are more unified than those trusted with securing the presidential inauguration.
President-elect Trump gets sworn in at noon next Monday. Kim Uretzky, Fox News.
Did you receive a call or message that mentioned Social Security and demanded immediate action? Did the caller know your Social Security number or other personal information and tell you that your Social Security number had been used in connection with a crime? Did you feel worried that your Social Security number might be suspended, your bank account might be frozen or seized, or you could be arrested? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, demand your personal information or instant payment, email or text you pictures or documents, or use a real government official's name to gain your trust. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Do not be fooled. Hang up. Ignore them. Report this criminal activity to the Social Security Administration Office of the Inspector General at oig.ssa.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
Wow, even CNN had this headline. Montana elected a firefighter to the Senate. He's already pushing for solutions. Full video, MontanaTalks.com. Even CNN had this headline. Montana elected a firefighter to the Senate. He's already pushing for solutions. Full video, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Great to have John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house with us. Last night, Governor Greg Gianforte had his State of the State address. I want to save, I've got some highlights that I'll play for you. I'll save that for later on in the 9 o'clock hour when the rest of the state joins us. You know, on 20 plus signals across Montana, or 9 o'clock hour is kind of a real big statewide hour. But man, look at the big presence we've got right now. We're live in Billings, Bozeman, Livingston, Butte, Great Falls, Kalispell, covering a massive chunk of terrain this morning here. But we'll cover a lot of the State of the State address coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Get John's take on some of the highlights and more. John, though, I do want to play one quick little portion. So, instead of just grabbing the audio of the governor's official remarks from the live feed of the State of the State address, I grabbed David Noble's live coverage. So you'll hear the governor say something, and then in drops David Noble. I want Holyfield. Yeah. So it includes, you know, David Noble's, you know, boxing match commentary to go along with it. So for some added fun, this isn't going to be your normal, straighten up your tie, State of the State conversation today. So we're going to have a little more fun with it. So
I got to hear that. I haven't heard the audio.
Well,
he jumped on our spaces the other night, but was off really quick. And I told him to grab a microphone, but he must have had something else to do.
Well, you know, because he's so smart and distinguished, and he's a lawyer. And, you know, he does a great job on the show here like you do. You know, but he's very well-read and thoughtful, right? And not that he isn't that guy on his Twitch stream, but he's definitely like more punchy, shall we say. Anyway,
Fox News commentary.
There we go with the Fox News audio again, bleeding over the top, man. Anyway, so many distractions, so many distractions. So, okay, I will play this brief little audio clip for you, though, John. I got a special for you. For you, good price. For you, my friend.
For you, friend.
Special price. Friend. So this is like the first 20 seconds of the governor's State of the State address. And here's David Noble's commentary.
Lieutenant Governor, statewide officials.
Doesn't look like Gianforte's been hitting the tanning bed very much lately, does it?
Members of our cabinet.
Looks like a Montanan in winter.
Of Montana, my dear wife, Susan.
And then the governor's State of the State address continues anyway. I was just dying laughing. You know, he hasn't been hitting the tanning beds. Come on. I want Holyfield. Oh, good stuff.
What was the upshot of that address? I didn't see it.
By upshot, you mean like some of the highlights or the biggest? Yeah. Well, I thought the best part, and all, this is one of the audio clips that I'll share in the 9 o'clock hour. The best part of the entire State of the State address was, so think about it. It's like a State of the Union address with the president, where you've got all the members of the House, Democrats and Republicans, all the members of the Senate, Democrats and Republicans there, all in one room. But just like how the Supreme Court justices are at the State of the Union address in D.C., all of the Supreme Court justices were at this address last night, and Governor Gianforte poked them right in the eye, right in front of them, in their very faces, by calling out the partisan leftist Democrat Supreme Court majority in the Montana Supreme Court, and it was beautiful.
I did see a piece where he's outright asking for and advocating for the legislature to bring him a bill to sign to basically take this, you know, this nonpartisan BS out of these races once and for all. Call yourselves what you are, and let's see where we end up. And they don't want to do that, you know, because we would win 8 out of 10 of those races if they did.
Yeah. The other thing is House Bill 121, and that's part of the audio I'll share in the 9 o'clock hour as well, where he came out very strongly. He laid out a series of bills that he signed into law as governor, that he supported, that the legislature, the Republican-controlled legislature, got across the finish line, protecting kids, protecting women, protecting girls, in a number of categories, but especially from this radical transgender agenda. And so if you hear his remarks last night, he very clearly weighed in support of House Bill 121, which will protect women and girls from men coming into their bathrooms and their locker rooms. So that was huge, because unfortunately we have to legislate normality again, because, you know, women always use the women's room, men always use the men's room, but the Democrats and their radical agenda, they want to totally upend right is wrong is right, up is down is up, men are women, men can get pregnant. And so now we have to pass a law to go back to normal, to keep things as they've always been.
Here's the question. Does our pal Zoe Zephyr there, does he have something ready to go on this, another transurrection, some kind of way to blow up the proceedings or stall the proceedings, something like that? You would think he would.
Well, and that's why I think there's a tiny number of Republicans who are in the Capitol and Helena saying, oh, well, let's not do anything because we don't want to give him more attention. I'm going to call BS on that one. That guy is going to get attention no matter what, because the liberal media loves to prop up the radical transgender agenda and to give him all the attention. So whether you do anything to protect women and girls or not is on you, but you are doing nothing to stop him from getting national attention and funding from a bunch of out-of-state special interests. So why don't you stand up and vote the right way and do the right thing?
Well, I think you said it a couple months back. I want him to get all this attention. I want him to be the face of the Democrat Party here in Montana.
It's the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, the Democrats, if they were honest, they would tell you that Zoe Zephyr is probably a big part on why they have lost so miserably in these past couple of elections, on top of so many other things as well. All right, we'll get to your phone calls next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one, at least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbons in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this sure looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Barton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Fox rocks.
I'm Monica DeLuca. Metallica is using the band's philanthropic foundation, All Within My Hands, to donate $500,000 in relief efforts to communities in California that have been impacted by the deadly wildfires. Beyonce is also chipping in. Her Be Good Charity Foundation is donating $2.5 million to help families rebuild. The Village people have accepted an invitation to perform at President-elect Donald Trump's inaugural events. That's in spite of the group's legal history with the former president, issuing a cease and desist letter to him in 2023 when a cover band played the song Macho Man at Mar-a-Lago. Carrie Underwood is expected to sing a rendition of America the Beautiful shortly before President-elect Trump takes the oath of office. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, wouldn't it be fun to have John Jackson as an official nominee for one of these Trump positions? Senator, first off, we were talking during the break about the Pete Hegseth confirmation hearing and how, you know, these Democrats are just going to try to do whatever they can to trip him up, to get one bad soundbite in response. And so, you know, we were talking about the preparation that I'm sure went into preparing for a confirmation hearing like this. And, you know, here you get some dumbass senator from whatever state, you know, ask you some stupid question. And, man, you just want to pop off at them, wouldn't you, John? But instead you're like, well, Senator, thank you for that very thoughtful question. I really appreciate that. And then you give your response and you move on.
Well, see, believe it or not, I'm actually very good at this because I spent my whole life doing this with defense attorneys in trial. And see, what they're trying to do, what you and I were just talking about at the break, is when they don't have anything else, then they're gonna try to blow you up on the stand, get you to lose your cool, or do something like that makes you look like a jerk in front of the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I learned that if I just sit there and take it, I play the victim, then who comes off like the bad guy, the jerk, the defense attorney does. So I can just sit there and say, yes, sir. No, sir. No, no, that's not true, sir. No. And I won't take their bait ever.
Yeah.
and they hate that.
You know, that brings up a really good point. Our law enforcement professionals are basically under trial every single day of their careers is what it's felt like with the woke left in America and the media. They're always trying to get to evoke a bad response from law enforcement or try to make law enforcement look bad or whatever while they give the criminals a pass. And so, yeah, here Democrats, same way on Capitol Hill. Oh, boy, you know, Mayorkas allowed this invasion on our southern border and so much more to happen. Lloyd Austin, with his Darth Vader face shield and stupid COVID mask, was an embarrassment on the world stage. But man, no tough questions for him. But yet some of these people just rolled over and voted for Lloyd Austin or Mayorkas. But then, oh, we're going to have tough questions for Pete Hegseth, a guy who actually, you know, was in the middle of the fight for this country.
Well, you can see that's what their game is going to be in his confirmation is they're going to, because they don't have anything else, they're going to try to see if they can blow him up, try to see if they can get him to lose his cool, say something that looks like he's mean or nasty or doesn't have the temperament for the job, something like that. All he has to do right now is just be cool. Just don't take the bait.
All right. We got a caller in Livingston who I think has a really good point to make this morning on the phone lines. Mark in Livingston, thanks for the call. Oh, what the heck? I even went right to his phone call, and Mark didn't stick around. But Mark, this was – so when our producer, Caden, answers the phone, he'll say, hey, what's your name? Where are you calling from? And generally, what do you want to talk about? Just so we have an idea. Mark in Livingston – and this was something I actually had planned on bringing up with you, John, differently. I wanted to bring up California versus North Carolina. But anyway, Mark apparently was trying to make the point that Montana is helping North Carolina or is helping California, but didn't help North Carolina that much. And I can see where he's coming from. You know, you're seeing all these headlines, you know, fire crews from Red Lodge, Columbus, Missoula, elsewhere are headed to California to fight the fires. Well, that's because we have fire crews that can respond to a fire. How do you respond to a hurricane? They need homes built. They need roads built. They need this. They need that. So it's a little bit different of a scenario. But to the broader point here, though, I want to talk about the attention that, and the promises that California is now getting. I mean, I think it was one of your followers on X made the point that, okay, it's tragic that California, that L.A., they've lost 10,000 to 12,000-plus structures in these fires. But North Carolina lost over 100,000 structures. So North Carolina, they lost 10 times the amount of structures from the hurricanes and the flooding and everything else, and the mudslides and everything else. But yet, L.A. gets 10 times the amount of media attention.
And to perfectly point that out, you remember what was it last year when the smoke, the wildfire smoke comes through here in Montana and just socks us in. You can't breathe, go in your house, you can't even exercise outdoors. But it's almost always because of California, Washington, Oregon fires. You know what? Do you ever hear that covered in the national media once? No, you don't hear that covered at all. But you remember, Aaron, when that went eastbound there that one time and socked in New York for a couple of days, it was Armageddon. You remember that? I mean, it's Armageddon. It's all over every newspaper. Look at this. This is awful. Oh, my God. It's only because that's where they are. That's where the media is. That's all they care about. If it happens out in flyover country, like in Montana or North Carolina, nobody cares.
Yeah, Montana and South Dakota, massive snowstorm. People are out of power for days. Tens of thousands of cattle killed by the storm. Yeah, maybe a little mention in the news, even though that's a massive part of our food supply, a massive chunk of terrain across America. Yeah, great point. All right, next up, and I know she's calling in about a different topic, but when it comes to North Carolina, I know our friend Kat in eastern Montana was very vocal about ways for people to support the storm victims in North Carolina late last year. Kat, calling in from eastern Montana, what's on your mind this morning? Thanks for the call.
Well, good morning, Aaron and John, and thanks to our veterans. Let's dive right into the California commies who want us taxpayers to foot the bill for their failed policies. We have Mayor of the Dust, L.A. Mayor Karen Bass, is a certified Marxist, been visiting Fidel Castro's Cuba since 1969 because, come to find out, ruler of the ashes, Mayor Bass, has been a leader of a group who has ties to the 1983 bombing of the U.S. Capitol. Look that one up. We dodged a bullet, though, because she was originally tapped to be VP for Biden, but was even too radical for the left. So now, warning after warning, for a decade, the city is toast, and slick-talking Gavin is shimmying with his hand out, asking for us to pay for his stupidity. We have people in western North Carolina sleeping in the snow while the state is taking their kids. Maui's still devastated from their oddly similar wildfire, but leave it to king and queen of narcissism to assume we will be helping them rebuild by 2028. How about this idea? Go ask Ukraine for the funds, or pull some back from the corrupt NGOs fighting homelessness and trafficking illegals into our country. America's had enough. It's time Cali faces the consequences of DEI, incompetence, and tearing down dams. I hope you gentlemen in Montana have a wonderful day, and God bless.
Hey, you too. God bless. Bringing the heat as always. Kat, thanks for the call. Yeah, California just had a special session of the legislature, John. $50 million they appropriated, not to help the fire fight in the Battle of Los Angeles, but no, to fight Trump and to Trump-proof. Not to fireproof California, but $50 million to Trump-proof California.
Well, right now, they need to make sure, and I think it is happening, they need to hang this right around Gavin Newsom's neck for two reasons. First of all, because that's absolutely where it deserves to be, but second, because he will be the 2028 nominee for the Democrats, and he needs to get figuratively hung over this. Did you see the video of him? I thought this was AI, Aaron. This was so bad. He's out there talking to the media, and he's talking about land speculators coming into the area, and he does this shoulder shimmy like he's in a gay nightclub or something. And you look at this, you're like, oh, no, he didn't. That's got to be AI. He didn't really just do that. But then you see Jesse Waters showed it last night. It was real. You're like, oh my God, this guy. He's not. Once you see him over and over and over again in the media, you realize he's not as good as he's made out to be.
He's such a phony. He's such a fraud. You know, it's just so funny, too, especially from a Montana angle, because I always remember when he and Ron DeSantis were having that back and forth, sparring over, you know, who's the free state, and Newsom was pretending that California was somehow a free state. Yeah, right. You were closing down beaches because of COVID. Give me a break. But anyway, you know, both Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom were in Montana while all of that back and forth was going on. In fact, there was I had even heard from people who were there that there was a day when both of them were playing on the same golf course at the stock farm outside of Hamilton, Montana, you know, a really nice, you know, kind of exclusive community area. They were both on the same golf course on the same day. And so, but yeah, here's Gavin Newsom. Oh, California is one of the free states. And oh, these red states are so bad. While he's playing golf in the freaking red state of Montana.
The thing that's scary about Gavin Newsom, let's just lay it out there. Two things that make him a scary opponent and politician is he's handsome, and that plays right to all the ladies, right? And then second, because he's like Mayor Buttigieg. He is just such a glib liar. I mean, the guy's a sociopathic liar. You know, he can look right in your face, deadpan, and say, you know, it's the sky is green, and have no problem saying it. That's you don't see too many politicians that are as good a liar as he is.
All right, there you go, Mayor. What? That's why we call it the most unwoke hour of the week. But if John didn't go there, you know the mighty human Z would go there. Z, what's going on?
Oh, my God. Gay nightclubs and artificial intelligence. Well, nothing more artificial than Rear Admiral Rachel Levine. We only got a few more days to enjoy her in the administration. You know, inside track here. I always give the best news, right? So Brandon was trying to rehearse for his farewell speech. They had to ask the Rear Admiral to leave the room because Brandon kept saying, why is the statue of Ben Franklin standing in the room? And he tried to go sniff the hair and found out it was a wig. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. A few more days. Hail. Say it with me, gentlemen. Hail Brandon.
Oh, my goodness, man. I had to kill our microphones because we were both just laughing too hard there. Yeah, because he thought, Joe Biden thought it was a statue of Ben Franklin. Yeah, this guy, he does. The guy who dresses up like a woman, the Admiral Rachel Levine, he looks like Ben Franklin. Like, no,
looks like Mitch McConnell in a wig, is what he looks like.
I got a turtle poking out. There's no offense to Benjamin Franklin, of course, but it's like, dude, if you're going to play the part, like, why did you dress?
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, phone lines are open for you. Plus, we've got John Jackson, the Joker from X, in the house. I know I said I was going to save more conversation on the State of the State address from Governor Gianforte for the 9 o'clock hour of the show. But, man, there are so many great highlights that I want to share that, well, we might get to it a little early. I don't know. You tell me. What do you want to talk about? 406-294-0970. Next up on the phone lines here, we've got Matt in Big Fork. Matt, what's on your mind? Thanks for listening to KJJR.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Just wanted to call attention to the fact that yesterday Gavin Newsom was talking about already having a LA 2.0 plan in place. How can they do that when they can't even plan to get the fires out, can't even plan to have fire protection in place? The timing of that is just highly suspect. So, and then also, on your guys' remarks on him being the 2028 nominee and not wanting that to happen, I'm one sitting over here saying, man, I really hope he becomes the nominee because I don't think anybody with a brain in their skull is going to vote for that guy. So,
I got to say, I kind of agree with you there too. Although he's very schmoozy and you know, a more attractive candidate maybe just on the visuals than some of the other potentials out there. But no, I think with you, how could anybody in their right mind ever vote for that guy? Matt, thanks for the call. Hey, John, first thing that Matt talked about there. Yeah, I was listening in. Laura Ingraham last night was playing, you know, some of the sound bites of Gavin Newsom. And he just sounds like that guy at the end of the bar that's hitting on every girl possible. Hey, he's got his fancy, you know, shiny shirt on, and you know,
little 8-ball of coke in his pocket.
Yeah, kind of like that feeling that you like. Gavin Newsom is a lot like Steve Bullock. Oh, he just thought he was the biggest deal in the room. You know, thought he was hot stuff, but. Yeah, she was playing, you know, all this talk about how, and he was given all these schmoozy, fluffy words. Well, we're going to focus on cooperation, collaboration, and blah, 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 and sustainability, and blah, 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 you know. But yeah, how do you already have a rebuilding plan? And the reason why it's such a good question that he asked there is because it very much has this, why do they keep failing so miserably at these things? Why do they keep making these bad decisions from Lahaina, Hawaii to California? It's almost as if it just has a very, very big, hey, let's take advantage of COVID-19 to usher in the Great Reset sort of feel to it. Like they want to let these communities burn so they can rebuild them the way they want them to be rebuilt.
Well, you heard the follow-up to that question when he was talking to that reporter. The reporter said, oh, you have a plan? What's the plan? And he's like, well, it's a concept of an idea of a plan. We're still they don't have a plan. He's
very hopey-changey,
full of Adam Schiff, right? But you know what comes out this morning? Did you hear that our boy Brandon there, Grandpa Poopy Pants, he was talking about the don't you understand? They had to turn off the fire hydrants because they're connected to the water the electric grid, and you know the power poles could have come down and started more fires. Don't you people get that? Wait a minute, hold on a second. You guys have a hydrant system that's dependent on a power grid that would reasonably have to get turned off if there's high winds, you know, first of all. And then second, it comes out this morning that they tried to replace these power poles in 2019 with steel ones. Right? Not wood ones that would maybe fall down in high winds, and were stopped by these eco bureaucrats who were concerned about this milk vetch plant. The milk vetch plants could be trampled when they were trying to replace these power poles. I mean,
it's this, and that goes back to a topic that we've had to fight over and over again here in Montana, the Endangered Species Act and the abuse of things like that to shut down everything and anything. You know, Tim Sheehy, now Montana's U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy, was just had incredible message. He was on with Mark Levin. He was on with Laura Ingraham. CNN even finally had the guy on and didn't just try to trash him the entire time like they tried to do during the elections. And, I mean, he was making the point that, like, on Levin's radio show in particular, he was saying, yeah, he's like, here we are flying these super scooper aircraft to go get water so that we can save homes and save lives and drop the water on the flames. And in places like California, they're like, well, you can't go to this reservoir, even though it's closer, because of the Eurasian snailfish. So you have to fly further away. How much land and how many lives and how many homes get lost in the middle of this? Well, the Eurasian snailfish.
Did you see NBC Montana? Finally,
I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet.
You did a story on that. Where their headline is, Bridger Aerospace, a company out of Bozeman, is sending their super scooper over there to help with the fires. Funny, though, there's never a mention in that headline of who owns Bridger Aerospace.
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine if John Tester's tractor was fighting the fires in Los Angeles? They would have live video from inside the cabin of the tractor. They would three different cameras showing his angle, a close-up on the missing fingers while he steers the steering wheel on there.
Oh, his name would have been in big, bold type on top of the story. John Tester's tractor. Right?
He'd have Rachel Maddow playing on MSNBC on satellite radio in the background. But no, Tim Sheehy's company is actually fighting fires, and while an unknown Belgrade company that we tried to destroy 6 months ago is doing great things to help fight fires.
Somehow they just forgot to add that into the title, that the sitting U.S. senator from Montana, that's his company. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. And besides, whenever I see an NBC Montana tweet from John. It's clickbait. You got to click on it. You got to see what he's talking about now.
Howard Stern, Private Parts, go see the
Don't
movie.
Go watch you it. Will, I made that mistake. I did not get the reference one time. John did the NBC. And I asked him, I said, what's that reference all about? You know, because I was just a kid back then. And I found out. And so don't even ask. Just don't even ask.
Pull it up on YouTube. You'll have a lot of fun. It's very funny.
Don't do it. All right. Hey, we've got all sorts of cool cats calling into the radio show this morning. We heard from Kat in Sydney. Now we've got Kat in Laurel. Kat, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Cornell Flynn. Thank you again for taking my call.
This is Pat. I recognize the voice. Not Kat.
Yes.
Okay. Well, you're a cool cat.
Thank you again, sir. A quick question for you, sir. One, did my email come through?
It did. Thank you. I will do what I can to get that to the people who might be able to get that to President Trump. No promises, but I'll try.
I appreciate it. Then I have a stupid question. I'm dumb. Is there a QC Kinetic local store here in Billings, please?
Yes. QC Kinetics is in Billings. Let's see. I've got the phone number memorized, 406-201-6263. Give them a call. I think if you search it on your maps, you could even find the location for it. Yeah.
Thank you for your ass on that, because I need it. An old guy needs it. Thank you, sir. Colonel Finn, you have a godly day.
Is that all you wanted to say? I thought you wanted to talk about all the illegal immigrants that are destroying the country you came to legally.
Yes. It took my wife 5 years because you had to overcome all legal hurdles, and I didn't regret it. That is the way, the only way to be done. That is why I'll repeat myself, Cornell Flynn, is a slap in the face for someone like me and millions of my fellow immigrants who came from various parts of the world. It's totally unacceptable.
Yeah, well said. Well, so great to hear from you again. Yeah, 5 years you had to work and wait through the process to get your wife here in America. And what a great American it sounds like you are. Thanks again for the phone call. Yeah, John, he called in a while back and was just saying what a slap in the face it is. He's somebody who came to this country legally. And then now to just see what's happened, I mean, it's just a slap in the face to everybody.
I had a nanny that she was here in the United States briefly. On a visa and went out to visit friends of hers out in California. And she came back, and all of her friends out there in California are legal or on visas. And they despise the illegals because they see it just like your caller right there. They see that as these people who are criminals, but get actually more benefits than they themselves get who are here legally. And not to mention the fact that every neighborhood that they're in over there is just horrible crime. All the stores are completely trashed. They despise them. People who are legal immigrants here despise illegal immigration.
Imagine being a legal immigrant in Los Angeles and you're seeing all these homes being burned to the ground. You're seeing all these fires. And then you see this.
There was another incident. I want to show you this video of a man that was found with a blowtorch. ICE sources confirming to Fox. Turns out he was an illegal immigrant from Mexico. He's being held on probation, not charged with arson, but it is certainly complicating the issue here.
Yeah, so legal immigrants came to this country. They did it the right way. Now there's illegals with blowtorches trying to burn everything you fought for to the ground.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Now, the LA Fire Chief had a very honest press conference saying that city officials failed us as in terms of not having water and hydrants. Also going on to say that the firefighters were not made aware that the Santa Ynez Reservoir was empty. I don't know how that's possible. These are questions that have to be answered. Or how the LA Fire Department is underfunded and understaffed, but she made that warning long before they ever made the cuts to the LAFD. Newsom defending the fire response with a fact check site linking the Democratic Party fundraising platforms. I mean, we're going to raise money off the fires now. I don't think people in California really want the money to go to the Democratic Party. No, thank you.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you exhausted every day? Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing? You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. It is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com. Use promo code Hannity. You get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com. And Strong Cell believes in their product so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Bullet points.
I'm Evan Brown. President-elect Donald Trump is set to retake office next week, and this comes to the delight of Second Amendment advocates around the country. The returning president is rated highly by gun advocates. And it's pointed out he does so as the first ever person convicted of a felony. And while he is not being sentenced to prison or to community service or probation or is even being fined, there is one aspect of this conviction that creates a very strange scenario. He cannot own a firearm. The president's conviction comes in a New York state court, and that means he cannot pardon himself. And unless an appeals court overturns his conviction, the restriction will stand because the federal law banning firearms ownership by felons includes state-level felonies, even non-violent felonies, such as the business records charges at the heart of the New York prosecution. And those are your bullet points. I'm Evan Brown, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We got Cool Cats and Pat calling into the show, and now it's time to drop the hammer. Sergeant Hammer calling in from Great Falls. Sergeant Hammer, it was great to meet you a while back. Great to hear from you today. What's going on? Is that line one? Maybe not line one. Is Sergeant Hammer still there? Okay, I'm not even hearing the background noise. We must have lost him there. Okay, all right, let's see. Unless I pressed the wrong button with my knee here. Let's sneak in another caller. Grandpa Lou in Billings, good to hear from you.
Hey, good morning, my friends. And I just wanted your and the Joker's opinion on do you think it will be safe when Trump gets sworn in next Monday on the 20th out in the open like that? Or do you think he should be sworn in somewhere in a secure location? Because we all know the deep state and, like John said, Grandpa Poopy Pants, you know, they will do anything to prevent Trump from becoming into office.
Yeah, although now a lot of his opponents are pretending to be his friends, which is an interesting turn of events. Great question there, Grandpa Lou. John, obviously that's something I wonder myself, because me and my wife will be there for Trump's inauguration. And I got to say, when I'm at the gym getting my workout in, I'm like, man, is it going to be safe there in D.C.? But bigger picture, if you ask me, is you can't let these terrorists stop us from being Americans. Like for example, after that terrorist attack in New Orleans, they did eventually do the Sugar Bowl, but I think you got to be really careful about bending at the knee to these terrorists, whether it's anti-Trump terrorists, radical Islamic terrorists, any of the above.
Yeah, and if you've listened to Bongino is really worried about this stuff, and not only inauguration, but the rally the day before. Very, very worried about it because of those things. And I guess because of this new, allegedly, this new drone technology that's out there, that some of it that you saw over New Jersey here a couple of weeks ago, that's getting everybody really nervous as well. What could they do as far as assassination or some kind of weapon of mass destruction with this new drone technology?
And by the way, remember the Tesla Cybertruck that blew up in front of the Trump Hotel? Remember the fake news storyline that they tried to trot out? Oh, well, that soldier's wife left him. The baby wasn't his. That's why he did it. His wife just came out with a full statement saying, no, we now have gotten DNA tests. It's his baby. We didn't divorce. We weren't going to break up. There was nothing to that. It was vicious lies. But wasn't he in this manifesto that apparently came from his account, whether it was from him or somebody else, talked about the drone technology over Jersey? All right, we're just about out of time. Let's go to Sandy in Billings. Sandy, what's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about illegal immigration. I have a son-in-law who hails from Jordan in the Middle East. He came to this country legally, and he's been here for 10 years, maybe a little more, and he's making a positive contribution in the community that he lives in, and he supports my daughter, my oldest daughter, and two grandchildren, and he does a great job. And he also speaks English. He spoke English from the day he got here. The illegal immigrants, on the other hand, they continue to speak whatever their native tongue is, don't bother to learn English, and they bring street drugs across the border into this country. And that doesn't do anybody any good.
Great point. That's, well said. I'd love to meet him one of these days as well, too. I've had friends that have visited Jordan and, then, of course, just beautiful parts of that country. And then, John, the other thing I think of is, well, what if you were fleeing one of these Middle Eastern countries and you were fleeing a threat? The threat can easily follow you right inside of our borders now because of what's been done. About 20 seconds to go. Anything you want to add?
I'd like to say in the Las Vegas poker tables, English only at the table, gentlemen.
Really?
Yep.
See, I don't play poker in Vegas.
Yep,
but
English only. You start ratting off in another language, they shut you down right there.
Interesting.
Yep.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The electricity business is a fascinating one, at least I think so. Not many agree with me. Decades ago, when I worked for an electric utility, I had a surefire way to make the kids fall asleep, and that was to talk about electricity. Growing up in an era of cheap, reliable, ubiquitous electric power put us all to sleep on the nuts and bolts challenges of making it all work. Those days are gone. Electricity has become a high wire act, with threats coming from all directions. The latest comes from the EPA, making its second attempt to close down coal-fired power generation through regulatory fiat, this time requiring generators to spend billions to sequester carbon in ways not yet technically proven to continue to produce. At a time when China and others are building new plants every few weeks, this looks like all cost and no gain. The economic and engineering challenges of maintaining what we're used to, reliably, reasonably priced electricity, in the face of the need to reduce carbon emissions is daunting enough. I'm Patrick Burton.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.